Okay, so we're going to speak about basar v'cholos, cooking basar v'cholos, cooking milk, cooking meat, and how that applies today's days. Now here's an interesting question. How would it be possible for somebody to eat a sandwich which has in it cheese and meat in one sandwich, and it says Rabbanon to eat it, but maybe to cook milk in a clean pot, nothing else in it, not to eat anything from it, and still to be over in Issa the Raisa? And not only that, but the milk that's in the pot is not only also ba'achila, which didn't happen, because you didn't eat it, but it's also ba'anoa as well. Which means that sometimes eating milk and meat could be chomer, but not as chomer as cooking something in a clean pot. How's that? How could that be? So this is possible if somebody cooks milk in a fleishig pot that's a benyoymoy, that still has real bleas in it, and therefore this milk, which was cooked with the tam basar, could be also banomi deraisa. It was cooked with meat. You don't see the meat. Tam keke deraisa, right? But the sandwich could be milk and meat separate. They were never cooked together. There's something that was never cooked together. They said they're albono. What's the point of this riddle? The point is here, just to realize that there is such a thing that regardless of eating, and without any eating, there is an isur bishul basar v'cholos, which needs to be paid attention to in the way we cook in our kitchen, not only because what will you eat or not eat, without any eating. Bishul basar v'cholos is isur deraisa, and causes, therefore, isur de'achilo, isur de'ano, whatever it is. And like I said, sometimes it could be more chomer even than eating an actual piece of cheese with meat. That's not to suggest that anyone should do that either. But both of these things are their own, have their own chumrah. So therefore, what are we finding out here? We're finding out that sometimes to use the wrong pot cover, as we shall see, the wrong spoon, just kalim, could sometimes be, worse than eating basar v'cholos. So, this is what we want to figure out. A lot of what we want to figure out tonight is going to be about bishul basar v'cholos. Not only, but much of it. What happens in our kitchens? This is what we want to spend some time on. And it brings us to a few plain, simple questions. For example, can you use the same oven for milchiks and fleishiks consecutively? Is that a problem? If it is, why is it a problem? Can one use the same microwave oven for milchiks and fleishiks? Is that a problem? Let's say a problem did happen. How can one now use the same oven again? Is it going to kasher these ovens? Yes or no? From basar, from challah, from hametz? Also, question. Now, today's days, it's become much more prevalent that people actually have two different ovens, right? That's not the way that even I grew up, and certainly the older gentleman here definitely didn't grow up that way, with two separate ovens. But even when I grew up, we didn't actually use the same oven for milchiks and fleishiks. It was either set aside for one or the other, or for parv, or whatever it was. But normally, people did not use the same ovens for milchiks and fleishiks. And the question is, why is that? Why should an oven actually be defined as a fleishiga oven or as a milchiga oven, right? Well, the question is, I think it's much simpler to understand. When you take an actual pot, you put in milk into the pot. The milk is coming into direct contact with the pot. You put a piece of meat into a pot. The meat is in direct contact with the pot. So that this is something that all of us understand simply. Okay, that's a fleishiga pot, that's a milchiga pot. However, that's not what happens with an oven. Nothing touches the walls of the oven, at least not in the ideal case, right? Unless something went wrong. But generally, it's not how it's meant to be. So what's the problem there? So why does an oven have to be either milk or so fleshless? Also, I want to point out, in the old days, real old days now, yeah? Going back to the 150 years ago, when people were still living in Eastern Europe, people definitely did not have two different ovens in the house. And forget about that. They had a fireplace, maybe, and that fireplace, or whatever they used as an oven within an individual home, but not everybody had such fancy ovens in their house in the old days. And a lot of them used to have the mimic to all put their chalons into the communal, the baker's oven. Right? This is something that's found all over the place in the place. The bakery had a big oven. He wasn't working on Shabbos, obviously. And everyone in the neighborhood would keep their chalons in the baker's oven. But in the houses, they also had some individual ovens. A little bit of a sort. Again, I don't know if you could call it a fireplace or an oven, whatever you want to call it. But the fastest is, it does seem that they did use the same oven, but no matter whatever they did, that same oven. In other words, whether it was milk, flacious, the pie, it was being done in this one oven.
What about the baker? Was everything he made flacious?
That's definitely a good question, right? What was he doing? Okay, so that's a good question. What did they do exactly? And as we move along, hopefully that will become clarified as well. But again, what changed? What changed? Why today? So some people will say, we became frumakis today about everything. Is that the case? Or is anything different from the way it was in the old days, the way it is today? But Messias, let's not forget about, whether we changed halachas. Did the Messias change? So, there is a pleisik, by the way. There was one pleisik who held that as long as an oven is clean, has no mamoshes, you should be able to continue to use it for both. But the vast majority of pleisik did not hold that way. Why is that so? Another question, and this is a question that happens often, I think, actually, which is, what happens if you bake the power of the thing in a fleishiga oven? Most commonly, where this question would actually be very negaya, would be, let's say, you bake cookies in a fleishiga oven. Now, you're an American, so you eat cookies and milk. So now what? Can you do that? Or just because the cookies were baked in a fleishiga oven, you can't eat them with milk anymore? I had tremendous, I know, when I was younger in the modern, that's the show. And this exact story happened. And we had, we just forgot them to kosher the oven from fleishiga, whatever it is, we baked the cookies in the fleishiga oven. So I was a newlywed woman. Called up a Yerushalayim Rav. Shalom Yid, maybe Shalom Yid style. And I asked him, tell me, what do I do here? Are the cookies, what's up with the cookies? Are they fleishiga cookies? So he tells me, as I understand, you want to eat cookies and milk. But even before we get to what its stock was, which we'll get to later, I had a note from his, he was in touch with what we do. But can you eat it with milk? And if you can, how would it be different, or would it be different, than part of a food which is cooked in a fleishiga pot, inside of a fleishiga pot? Is there a difference in food cooked in a fleishiga pot and food baked in a fleishiga oven? Yes or no? Another very serious question, which is negaya to so many of us, constantly. Anyone who ever flies on an airplane, we're not talking about the short domestic flight, but the longer flight. So you get yourself a real meal on the plane. Now, you may want to imagine that they have separate ovens for kosher foods, but it's not the case. Not the material. And so therefore the question is, you have your kosher meal. It's in a plain tray for oven, right? Often together with the tarsus that's being warmed in that same oven. Why Are we allowed, and I'm not going to ask if we're allowed to eat it, all of us do that, but why are we allowed to eat it, and what is it that makes that okay? Okay, so let's start checking the basics, and a lot of what we're going to do tonight is going to be elementary basic stuff, which you know, we're allowed to go through that, I think, once in a while, just go through the basics of, well, so I think most of us are aware of most of the basic things, but we'll try to make some sayda out of it. We'll do a little different than usual. I'm not going into Gemaras and Sugyas. We're going to start from Shulchan Aruch and Pesachim, plain things that I think most of us have heard before. Somebody cooks milk in a clean flasher of pot. Why is it called Basar Chalav? Like I said before, it is called Basar Chalav. Why? Why is it called Basar Chalav? So this is a basic concept in Aholos Asuris, which is called Blias. Blias means that a pot absorbs into itself, into its walls, of the substance that was cooked inside of it. Which means, just like when you take a piece of meat and cook it in a pot, there is meat inside the pot, there also is meat inside the walls of the pot. After you finished your cooking, you're left with meat inside the walls of the pot, which has become absorbed into those walls. And this is what's called tam ki'ike, which I said, tam ki'ike, yeah.
You can never get rid of it unless you play
one. No, don't do it to me.
You can't do anything to get rid of that.
Yeah. Hashem. Okay, so maybe as we go along, we'll get a little bit, but I think the first thing which I'll say right now is that one of these sayings is that after 24 hours pass, although the taste is still in there, and the bleas are still in there, but they become less relevant, I'll stress, but we're not going to get into all the details right now, less relevant after 24 hours because they are then seen to be a nice and timeless gum. Means there's a flavor there, but it's a bad flavor, right? In other words, just like anything could spoil, the flavor in the world also could spoil, which already will solve the issue to a big degree. But, so we have these bleas, right, inside the walls of the pot. That's called tam ki'ikar. The taste of something is like the actual food itself. So when you have the flavor of meat inside the walls of your pot, it's the same thing as having a piece of meat inside the walls of your pot, tam ki'ikar b'raisa. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Tzadik Gimel. Of Yeridaeus, if Aleph, and he says that in Bishel Cholov, the seer, if you cook, he says, meat, milk, inside of a flesh of a pot, is lost to the Cholov because of the bleas of meat inside of the pot, and that comes from the Gemara. Okay. So now, let's go a step further with this. What happens? Now, let's ask a question that wasn't asked yet. Let's say you cooked, so this is all talking about somebody who takes a fleishig pot and maybe absentmindedly takes something milking and puts it into the fleishig pot and just created terrible problems. But let's say you didn't do that. Right? You're not distracted, you're not absentminded. Fleishig and a fleishig pot. You got it right. You got the right food inside the right pot. However, you were only a little bit distracted, so on top of the fleishig pot, with the flesh of your food inside it, you put a milchig cover on top now. Now, there's no milk anywhere. There's meat in a flesh of a pot. Is that mutter? Or is that a problem? So that Ramah, on that if of Shulchan Aruch that we just spoke about, Tzadik Gimel Seif Aleph, the Ramah writes as follows. Din kisui kedero, kedin kedero atzma. The halacha of a pot cover is the same as the halacha of the pot itself. So, here we have a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Again, we had meat inside a flesh of your pot or in the milk of your pot. We understand it's getting these leaves into the walls. Milk inside a flesh of your pot, we got that also. Now you have a cover on top of a pot. So now, again, you have no mago, no contact between the food that's in the pot and this pot cover. Here we're starting to get to further type of situations where there's no physical contact between the food and whatever it is that we're looking at here, and yet there seems to be a problem. I mean, it only seems to be. I'm off the point that there is a problem. So why is that? And if you look at the shach and the tiles on the spot here, they offer no explanation. What's the problem with the pot cover? Again, no direct physical contact. But if you look in the Bir HaGrover, this is where we start to get to the Yisoid, which is going to help a lot of our shayles. It's very choshev Yisoid, And the Bi'ur HaGro, anyone who's ever seen Bi'ur HaGro, he says all of his choshes, he says this in three letters sometimes, or in three words, or whatever it is. And sometimes just a minor marker, because that's what the Bi'ur HaGro most often does. Tells you, look here, look here, look here. So he says, Kemoy Shekosov, V'simen Tzadik Beis Eifchas, Adkan L'shayna. In other words, he says, you want to understand the pot cover? Look at Simen Tzadik Beis Eifchas. What does that mean? That means, Lamosha, let's say you have a milking pot with milk inside it. Milking pot with milk inside it. And it's in the oven with no cover. Open milking pot. Milk inside it. No cover. Into the oven. Above it. In that same oven, or over, like the two shelves in the oven, you have an open milking pot on the bottom with milk inside it. On top of it, you have a fleishig pot with chicken inside it. And there's a space between these two pots. So there's no contact between the two of them. Is there a problem or not? So again, we're starting to understand here some connection between pot cover and oven. Because these are the cases where you have no direct contact, no physical contact between the food and whatever it is that we're looking at here. So these are similar cases. Even though they sound different, they're very similar. Another case.
So when you have a pot on the stove also, there's a thing over the stove.
Good point. Another good point. Right? So now, sure, now let's take this another step. What happens if you have nevelus the treifus in your open pot on the bottom? Plain tray for food. Open pot on the bottom. Above it, pot with kosher food. Again, no direct contact between them. What's the halacha? So this is going to bring us to Tshuvas HaRosh. Now let's go back to one of the famous Gevaldige Big Yishonim, Tshuvas HaRosh, in Klal Chof Simon Chof Vov, and brings a shaila that his son asked him. Who's his son? He had more than one son. Could have been the Torah, it was a Yehuda ben HaRosh, whoever it is, one of his sons. He doesn't say which son it is. B'ni, he answers him. Shesha'alta, he asked the shaila. Al ulfis chilevis, the exact shaila that we just went through, which is a milchiga pat in yichoyin losis lamato bakiro tachas kederos al bosa. Can you put a milchiga pat on the bottom inside of an oven, and on top of it is a fleishiga pat? That's our shaila.
Both uncovered.
Nearly. Let's see how he tells it back. Nearly. It's awesome. It's also awesome. V'afilu b'di'evet im nase, even if l'achamayis, you did it already. I'm not telling you what to do. It was b'di'evet. It was done. The deed has been done. Now what? What's off with the pot and the food? Ha'yisi oisar akadariya, he says. Even b'di'evet, I would still ask for the pot. Why? And here he gives us the first time this musik, fourth and important musik. Ki azeyo ha'oilam in ha'ilfos hu kemoi cholov. Ki detnan, the perik beiz, the machshir. What does that mean? That means the steam coming off from the milchiga pot on bottom is the same thing as milk, he says. The steam rising from the milk is milk. As we see, he says in the Mishnah, the second perik of machshir, which we'll see in a second. So what does that mean? You see a food inside the oven. And he thought, scientific fact, yeah? Roll in on the scientific fact.
That's why there is physical contact. You say there isn't physical contact, that is wrong. There is physical contact.
That's what we need to get to right now. In other words, we have a food that's heating up, it's going to vaporize, it's going to turn into steam. And it is that same thing. Now I'm going to read some more from the Lash of the Rosh himself. He says, the zeyo hayoytseis min hadovor chashuvo keoytsei dovor. The steam that rises from something is that object.
It's extremely hard to really make pure steam. Triple distillation, you still have something in it. Pure water steam is extremely difficult. There's always substances in that.
Oh, so Reuven's talking about triple distillation. We're talking about no distillation at all. We're talking about something that comes straight out, as it is, as it goes. Nimtzes, again, the words of the Rosh. Zeyaso ilfes choylevis hi keholos. The steam that comes up from the milking pot is like milk itself. And he said he sees it in a Mishnah Machshire. What's the Mishnah Machshire? It's interesting. It's a fascinating point how he finds a Makur, Mishnah Machshire. Mishnah Machshire is not talking about kashrus. It's not even talking about food at all. What's it talking about? It's talking about a bathhouse. A Schwitzbad, like they called it in Yiddish. Right? And what did you have there? The Merachas people used to spend time schwitzing in there, right? In the steam. And what does it say there? It says, Merchat Temeo, if you have a bath, which is Tomei, they also Temeo. The steam that rises from it is also Tomei. So he says, this is where we see this Yisoid, that when steam rises from something, it retains the status of the original item, whatever that is, right? Now this is, again, Reuven the Sheikh is nodding his head because it's a scientific fact. It's not only a halacha, right? It's a scientific fact. This is a scientific fact. The truth is, in that case, what we're going to follow, this Mishnah Machshir, the steam that rises from food is that food. That's called ke'ikra. It's like the ikra, and therefore it's milchig, it's fleishig, it's available, it's as the case may be, whatever it's coming up from. And this is something, again, which is understood, because, again, the liquid of that object is the steam that's coming from it. And it has the Tamei Ikra, by the way. If anyone's curious, they can try it. It's really a good idea for an experiment.
Yeah. Good for the kids for their science trip.
Oh, there you go. In other words, put your hand over steaming chicken, leave it there for a while, just make sure not to burn yourself, and take a lick. It's there. It's there. Chicken soup.
You have to wait 6 hours?
Take chicken soup. If it's the Ikra, it's the Ikra. Take chicken soup. Let it rise onto your hand, the condenser's right there, lick it off, it's there. It's chicken soup, right? It has exactly that flavor also.
Do we say that it only rises?
Rather than fall?
The shayla is on the top or both parts?
Right now the shayla is on the top or the bottom on the top. However, of course, we're going to deal with all of this guy. So, now there is a yisoid, which we're going to get to later on, which says that min hadin, Reicho lav milsa. The smell, the aroma of something, that's lav milsa. That's insignificant. But zeyo, which goes beyond the smell, but actually is the steam, that's milsa. That's yesh pei mamish. And again, it's the reicho ke'iker. And it's like eating the thing itself. So now, let's go to a seif in Shulchan Aruch. The seif in Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Machavas Shulcholos. You took a milchiger pan and put it in the oven, tachas kedeir shal bazar, under a fleishiger pot with meat in it. Hazeyo oilov and nivla bakedeiro the oisirosa. The steam goes up from the bottom pot into the top pot and afters it. What's this? Be'agoyla on the side. Chuvas harosh. That's the chuvas harosh that we just went through. This machaber paskin straight out of that.
Does it go the other way too? So then, what about the hollow? The steam went up from the hollow, the one that made the bust, but the hollow, down on the bottom.
That's
shelf.
That's what was just brought up, and absolutely, we're going to see it. It becomes a mixture eventually. But here, you know where that mechaber is? Simen tzadik beis seifchas. That's the mechaber. Simen tzadik beis seifchas. What's the significance of that? The thing to that is that whoever remembers the Bir Agra, when he talked about a pot cover, he said, look at Simon Sadik Beis Yivches. What does it say in Simon Sadik Beis Yivches? It says there, the halacha of the inside of an oven with two pots in it. What's the shaykhus of these two things? The shaykhus is, what's going on over there? Again, there's no physical contact, at least apparently, between the two pots inside the oven. But yet at the same time comes the Mechaber and says, Fleishiger pot became awesome. Right? No. Why is that? Despite the fact that there's no physical contact, at least apparently, that it still becomes asur, is because, as we saw in the Rosh, the zeyo is the same thing as the thing itself. Oy vazoy, kum tachoyz, like Reuven said, the actual milk is touching the upper part and getting nivla in it. Zok de groho, hu hadin, vehu hatam, same aloha for the same reason will happen. You put a pot cover on top, the wrong pot cover, you put a milk sugar pot cover. On top of a flesh sugar pot with a piece of meat on it. What ends up happening over here? The meat is nivla in the pot cover. Now, previously it was also nivla in that pot cover, milk. So what just happened? You just cooked bosa b'chol. That's what just happened. By putting on a pot cover. But this is what happens in Siman Tzadik Beis, Seifchas. That's where that is. And that means the pot cover. Why is it a milk sugar pot cover? Again, same thing, same question. Why the milk of Batko? Same reason. Because originally it was on a milk of pot. It was Vilei Azeya of milk. Now it's on a flesh sugar pot. Vilei Azeya from meat. You just cooked those two Zeyas together. And therefore, when all of these Zeyas and Bliyas get involved with each other, mixed with each other, now we can go to what everyone was bringing up here. Of course, the condenses, again, these are all scientific facts. Take off the cover, take a look at it. Condensation on the cover. Condensation on the cover is already a mixture of both. Condensation on the cover falls back down in. Falls in, and after what's on bottom. This is already following just plain facts of the way these things mix and operate. And then we're ending up mixing and matching over here between all these different things that are going on. And therefore the bottom is also going to become also as a result of this going on for long enough that the two Zayas have mixed in the cover and come back down into the pot itself.
And is there any need of both of the shishim?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Because normally with the pot, you're saying the pot absorbs the whole wall, so you're not both of the shishim, you're going to send it out. Here you're talking about small amounts. You're not talking about if it's cooking in the pot and absorbing from what's in the entire walls.
Very true. Very true. And there will absolutely be both of the shishim. That's not going to be forthcoming tonight, but absolutely, that's part. It's going to be part of the equation. But again, you know, I don't want to do anything like that. And, you know, and by the way, you're talking about the food in the pot. Well, it's in the cover itself. There's only bleas of both together, so you'll have to deal with the pot cover as a separate issue. What you do with that cover, what you do with the food, absolutely, there'll be such calculations of the delicious. Okay, so let's go back to our ovens compared to old ovens. So now you take a flesh sugar pot and put it into our ovens. Right? Now again, the flesh sugar pot has flesh sugar food in it, doesn't touch the tanner, but back to the machaber and back to the havona we have now. The zeya comes out of the flesh sugar pot, goes into the walls of the tanner, and turns the zeya again, is like a piece of flesh sugar, and turns the oven flesh sugar also. Now the old ovens were not like this. Why? Because the old ovens were all open, fully open from one side at least, right? The front was open, the top was open, whatever it was open. And therefore, when that happened, there was always room for the steam to rise out, to leave, to go out of there, right? And therefore, they would use the same tanur for milchis and fleishis, okay? Who says this? I'm not making it up. It's Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, of course, even in his days, Aruch HaShulchan was not as long ago. And obviously, he's not made in ancient times. Aruch HaShulchan, maybe he lived over 100 years ago, but he's in Tzadik Beis Seif Nun Hei, and he says as follows. V'hine bedin zeyo, misbarer lono mi mishne de makshirin, which we are familiar with, deloi shayech zeyo elo b'mokrin hamukov. Zeyo applies, the halacha of zeyo applies in a place that is encircled or enclosed. Loi b'mokim goli, not in a place which is open. Kimoi, v'kiro, sha'kedeiro atachtoyro nesuna bo, v'oleho oimei do'el yoino, v'oilo hazeo tovim tovim she'ein lo mokim loke. This steam is going up and it has no way to go out of. Avo b'mokim goli, ki b'tanurim shelonu. But in our ovens, he says in his days, back then, sheyesh avir, there's an opening to the air. Hazeo oila ba'avir. It goes out, it escapes, and therefore ain't a oyster akadera somafor. It's not going to answer pots, which on the other hand, so he drew a distinction between very old ovens and his oven. Now we're going to have to do those distinction back to our ovens where they're closed, and therefore.
They're repentant.
This is one of the things we're gonna have to discuss is what's called open, right? But again, in the old days, one side was open. Ours are small ovens. They may be smaller than the old ovens. Okay, I'm not, you know, a bucky in every person's oven in the old days, but the small ovens are closed. And if you're cooking meat in there, then the zayat does go into the walls, and the oven therefore turns into a flay sugar pot. It turns into its own flay sugar pot. It's basically just a flay sugar pot. It's cooking meat inside it. It's not cooking meat inside it. Because the meat is evaporating into your oven. Now the Chelkis Yaakov, that's a Breish from Tirich, in his Chuvis, and I'm not going to say the Maramachim because his Madur has changed and his different Maramachims, the old edition, new edition, whatever it is. He was asked this Shaila. Why is it, he says, that our ovens become fleshy? And he writes there that in the Matthias that is discussed in that Shaila there, he says, he starts off by saying that there are actual boiling drops spritzing all over from the pot into the oven. So you're ending up with actual mamoshes there. And he writes, "Benizim didan kishiyesh be'en shel basar al hatanu." There's actual meat on the oven. Oi, no. Then he says, "I machmas hazeo, I mishum nitzayis." Either because of hazeo or because of nitzayis. And nitzayis means drops which spritz around. So one way or another, he says, you're ending up with a situation where you have actual meat on your oven walls, either because the drops spritz there and you see it with your eyes. Well, it happened because of the steam, but as far as he's concerned, it's all the same thing. Later on, he writes, Ani Roya Bebeisi, he writes his own personal anecdotal experience. He says, I see my own house, Tanu Gaz Shali, my gas oven, he says, that all they bake there, he says, in their oven, in his house, challis for Shabbos, and cakes with oil, he says, in this oil in the cakes. And they're done, he says, in aluminum pans. Aluminum or iron pans, he says. And also, he says, kugel for Shabbos. V'kol hatanu molayim be'en shol sham nimus. He says, the only thing he did is these two things. We don't smear the walls of our oven with our food. But it's there. He says, the whole oven is full of this stuff. So again, he says, imi shaman it says, oy hazeya, where it comes from, I don't know, I don't care, he says. It's one or the other. It, either it's actually spritzing out as it is, and if not, this steam that's leaving its telltale signs on the oven walls. But either way, he says, that's the Messias. He refuses, it seems, to entertain the possibility that his wife was a worse power boss than anybody else. And basically, he says, this is what happens in my house. I see it with my own eyes. Yeah, we're officially doing clean baking here, but it's not the Messias. It's on your oven, one way or another. And again, Zeya is enough of a reason.
Again, that's assuming that it's only uncovered, as opposed to
true. True.
If
we're going to get to this.
If the steam comes out, that steam will have meat to oils.
No, but how will the steam come out? If you cover your
plate, We'll get this.
If you cover number 13 tightly with aluminum foil, the steam doesn't come out.
Okay.
You have to have pressure cooker arrangements. If you look at it, if that oven is over 212 degrees, steam must come out.
Okay.
It must come out.
Okay. And this is going to have to be an important discussion, which we will have. He's our assembly member. Now, the Mizrach Yitzchak, Ravais, in Chelek Hei Siman Chof, also writes about the Shiloh Hour ovens. Also asks it for the same reason, Zeyo the steam. Now, earlier on, before the Minchas Yitzchak and before Rav Breish, there is a tshuva for Rav Breish, which was written 65 years ago, Tovshin Yud Dalet. how fascinating, who it was written to. It's written to a Yid by the name of Reb Chaim Schloss, who some of the Olim here knew. Rabbi Schloss, he wasn't known as Reb Chaim Schloss. Rabbi Schloss! And this tshuva, Rabbi Schloss, Rabbi Schloss. I'm out of all this, but I heard the name here enough times to know, because it doesn't say that it was written to Oak Park or to Detroit. But it does say his name there. And it was written to him. Now he came along. See, what I think what's historically fascinating about all the tshuvas I just mentioned, you would think that by the time Rav Moshe came along, and especially by the time of Minchat Yitzchak and Rav Dreish came along, this was probably a settled halacha. But you see it developing here in America especially. Rav Moshe comes along, like I said, it's Tavshin Yud Dalid, right? That's basically 10 years after the war. People have just come to America. They're still figuring it out with the American office. And Rabbi Schloss tried, he made a very honest effort to give Rav Moshe enough reason to make call on these ovens that there's no issue on them. He actually made three attempts, Rav Moshe was gachis one by one to all three of his different tainus of why it should be mutter. Let's take them one by one. His first reason is, he says that there's enough space between the pot and the walls of the oven that therefore, he says, you know, when the steam has to travel that far, he says, that the oven is that big, and the steam has to rise that much, it's going to evaporate and dissipate, he says, before it actually hits the walls. Taina number one. Look, the Moshe, it's not true. He says the walls and the roof of the oven are very hot, and therefore, when the steam hits them, it becomes very hot, and it does not cool off before it hits the walls of the oven. He refuses to accept that time. Number two, he says, these ovens have somewhat of an opening, he says, somewhere on the side for some of the steam to escape. So he wants to now make it through Shtel, Rabbi Schloss does, through the places where we find an open thing is not a problem. So he says, maybe there's an opening that's good enough. So Tamisha, it's not true. It doesn't help for Zeya, he says. And how does he know? He says, what's the makor? What's the source of this whole story, he says? Where did we get this from, the whole thing with Zeya? He said it came from the story of the Merchat. The Mishnah Machshirin, just speaking about a Merchat. Do you think, he says, if there's no opening in a Merchat, he's dying there, he says. There's obviously some vent that allows some of the steam to escape. Vaday gam hu yesh lo eiz pesach koton, he says, definitely has some opening, and yet, there's still Zeya in there, which is very serious. And why is that, he says? Because the only way for all the Zeya to go out, in a way that it becomes insignificant, is like, and again, he finally puts it openly, that the pshat is, it has to be completely open from at least one side. Right? One side is completely open, and then, okay, it'll all go that way. But the fact that all sides are closed, but there's some opening somewhere, not good enough, not so nice. Number three, Rabbi Schloss Tainus, that you can be toiler that hot in the oven, that the steam actually dries out and is burnt to a crisp. Not to a crisp, obviously. But, and therefore, it ceases to exist. Dr. Moshe, the main problem that we have here is not going to be necessarily the steam that remains within the air of the oven, which you can then tell me eventually whatever happens to it, but it becomes nivla. That's what we're more concerned about. The steam that actually is absorbed into the walls of the oven. And therefore, since that's so, he says, that doesn't dry out or anything like that because of the heat of the oven, v'lochein. Yesh lahachmir l'maisa sheloi levashel batanur kederis megulas. You should l'maisa, he says, you must be machmir not to cook with open pots in the oven, because you cook with open pots in the oven, but he's referring to open pots in the oven of milchis and of leishis. So you're going to have to pick your choice, and you're going to have to stick to it.
And self-cleaning ovens?
Okay, that will leave that for the end. So where are we going now? Basically, up until now, what do we have? So we have, what does Rav Moshe say? He says, either you pick one or the other and stick to it. Or you got to keep it closed. Right? Okay, so this is where we start dealing with closed and off-closed, and we'll deal with that also. Okay, so let's get to some halacha lemaisa. First of all, what has come out so far? So what's clear is, in one oven, you want to take milk extrapolations. In one oven, bake them there together, clearly you can forget about it. If it's open, the steam is going up, it's mixing together, and it becomes both the whole of the yaisa, and like the Rosh says, that's also even with the effort. Okay, so this we saw openly in the Rosh and in the Shulchan Aruch. This is plain halacha. Now, what about somebody who doesn't want to do that? You don't want to do that. You don't want to cook milk and flesh together in your oven. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, Gevaldik. So the Chur Sarosh, know that. But what if you have one oven, and you want to be able to use that one oven for milk and for flesh? Not together, but you want to be able to use one oven for milk and for flesh. So there we saw. Also, but here comes the Chalukis Yankov and the Mishnah Sitzchah and those Churis that they speak about when they say that it's Osir, and they say, of course, the best Eitzah, like many people here have already raised, and most people are familiar with this already, which is that the best Eitzah, of course, is, okay, first of all, the best Eitzah is to have an oven, okay? Gevaldik, that you don't have to be so brilliant for that. But what happens if somebody doesn't have that? And not everybody has it. You have to use only one oven. But once we understand, now we understand what the cover makes a difference about. Once you understand that the whole cause of any issue is only Zeya, it's only steam, and that's the only thing that it's all about in the first place. So now we know we have to stop the steam. In order to be able to use one oven for both, we need to be able to get rid of the steam. So, how do we do that? We cover the pans, we cover the pots, all of the steam remains inside, and that is in that same Ramah, who says, what he said before, he also says this thing, also this halacha, which is, keep it covered, and mainly you don't have any zeya. Right? So as they discussed, what the zeya does, he says, govern it doesn't have zeya. Now, what was the makor of the din of zeya? Was the Chuvis HaRosh and the Shulchan Aruch who brings it. And the Mechaber said, passing like the Rosh, it's also even with the Evan. Zok the Ramah. Kol zeh. Mairi sha'amachvas megule v'hazeyo oilo min ha'machol atzmoy lakadeiro she'olo. This is all true. When the pot on the bottom is open, the bottom pot, which we're worried about just sending up the steam, is uncovered. Therefore, the steam comes up from the food itself to the pot above it. Avol ha'machvas mechuse. Hakoil shari, everything is mutter. Midedahave, just as we find, where? Let's pay attention to this, because this is going to come up a number of times. Shtei kedeiros noigos zu bezu. Two pots that are actually touching each other, yeah? Here we are talking about plain, open, apparent physical contact between two pots. You have two pots touching each other. One is a milking pot with milk inside. One's a plaschig pot with meat inside. And these two pots are touching each other. They are open, plain contact. The ein oisin zeh ben agiyah. These are not after each other by touching. The kolsha came b'zeyo. What does that mean? That means two dry pots. Two pots are dry. Even if they're touching each other, it's all mutter. It's all mutter. Right? What does that mean? That means bliyos need to be conducted from one place to the other. Bliyos don't fly out into the air. It doesn't work that way. They need to be taken out of one thing and passed along to another thing. And that happens only by means of hot liquid. Liquid is what conducts bliyos from one place to the other. Therefore, Zokter Amor, if you have a milchig pot on the bottom and it's covered, what happens? Now the Zeya is going to go be nivla into the pot cover. Okay, so now you have a milchig pot cover. On top of it, you have a fleishig pot. The fleishig pot also has steam. Its steam is going to the fleishig pot cover. Both of them are busy shooting steam into their pot covers. Gevaldik. No problem. What do we have here? We have pots one on top of the other. They're not even touching, Zokta. He said, even if they were touching, it wouldn't be a problem. So if they're not touching, if they stay inside the pot and never went anywhere, what are we worried about? He says that's called. Today it's like kol shekein b'zeyo. In this case, where it's covered, and we're not even talking about a piece of food, we're talking about zeyo, but it doesn't come out, and there isn't any actual liquid meeting between the two of them. Therefore, they're not two pots that are touching. They're one oven, but they're not touching.
Who says that?
This is the Rambam. So again, if they're together and they are touching, it's also not a problem. If they're in one oven and they're not touching, what's full stop? Elamai, the Zeyo was touching, not even touching. Each one is touching its own pasta oven. So therefore, it's not a problem. So you see the Indian that we're understanding over here, which takes us through everything that's Negev tonight. Heat doesn't answer anything. Right? In other words, there's no such thing as Fleisha Geheat. There's no Fleisha Geheat. There's no Milchi Geheat, there's no Chomitz Geheat, and there's no Trefa Heat. What there is only Zeya, which means you need to have actual, tangible steam there. And that's when there becomes a shiloh over this. So therefore, you can leave an oven completely parous. And at the same time, you can cook and bake in there, milk again, flesh again, and the oven remains completely parous. Why? It's covered. That's the reason. Closed on, it's covered. Nothing changed. Now, it should be pointed out that this is all talking about when you're not splattering it all over the place, right? If you have mamoshes or tomoshes, that's a different story. But we're talking about nothing splattered out. We're just concerned about the steam, so is this steam or not? So even if you have some kind of a gut feeling that tells you that, how do you mean? A place you go over, that's hot. Again, there is no place you hit. It has to remain clean. It has to remain clean. It doesn't remain clean, it's under the meiser, but as long as it remains clean, we don't have any issues. Now what about using the same shelves or the same racks in the oven for milchik and fleishik? So again, if we're going to follow what the Amos says over here about shtei kederes noigers zu mizu, which again tells us that even if you have fleishik and milchik, the pots, touching each other directly, but there's nothing conducting oblius from one to the other, and the male is okay. So therefore, the same halacha will say over here, the le halacha, according to the Yisroel, you can take a fleshig pot, put it onto the rack. Take a milchig pot, put it onto the same rack. Doesn't matter, as long as you didn't have liquid conducting it, it's fine. And yet, some place can be safe, yet better is if you can put down a different piece of silver foil on top of the rack for the milchigs or for the fleshigs. And that way, you don't have to worry about anything spritzing out or any water or any liquid getting in the middle over there and conducting any bleus, because you have this piece of silver foil for milchik. I took your milchik apart, a piece of milchik silver foil is out. You put another piece of silver foil, put your fleishik apart down on that. No matter what happens now, you're not going to have any issue once you take it out with the piece of silver foil. But I do want to say that la'alocha, it is mutter without that as well.
One problem I have with this is that, again, there's always steam coming out unless the pot is hermetically sealed into the oven, but it doesn't go back in to the pot. It's only going out into the oven space.
Yes.
So the concept is saying, well, it doesn't do anything to the oven.
Has to be discussed, right? Sure. Believe me, that. I don't know if we're going to get to it in the next 10 minutes, but we'll discuss this very much, at least by Hamshach, when you later between the Chamayim or different things. Okay, so what comes out to be the simplest and best piece of advice is, again, cover things properly. What's called properly, we're going to have to discuss that, but cover it properly, and therefore you keep your oven a powerful oven. What are you covering? Again, best, safest, cover everything. Cover the milk that goes in, cover the flasheks that goes in, your oven remains completely powerful, and therefore, in this case, Dr. Tom, if you did that, you don't have to wait at all. It's only 24 hours. If it's only 1 hour, take it to milchiks, from the fleishiks, to the fleishiks, from the milchiks. All this is good. The power of the oven, you can do whatever you want in there. And therefore, you can also take, of course, this takes us straight to other practical issue, which is, you can then take your cakes, power of a cake, make it right in there, take your challahs, bake it right in the pot of all of it. Ah, you bake milk in the place, you clean it also, no problem. All this is good, it's all figured out, everything is part of, the milk, I mean, the oven is part of, therefore whatever you bake in there open, which is your challah and cake, is part of, no shilas at all, and that's not as well.
Some of the recipes call for it to be uncovered.
This is where I want to get to right now. What do you do, Taka, like Dr. Ellenberg is pointing out, what do you do when some recipes call for things to be uncovered? Right? You want it to get a crisp or a crunch or whatever it is, or you're frying something in there, and it's not going to help to cover it. So Givaldiga eats it, but it's not practical. So, and especially with fleishix, it's definitely often so that, you know, at least for some of the time, it needs to be baked open. And in that case, of course, back to what we've been saying up until now, Zizeya. Zizeya, you just turned your oven fleishix. You turned your oven fleishix. What are you going to do here to bake milchix? So again, simplest thing is, even if you have your fleishix open, so you turned your oven fleishix. So, not as good as our old case over there, where we had a fully potted oven and everything was potted. We just turned the oven fleishix. Of course, what you could do is to take your milchix and do that cover. So now you did covered milchix in a fleishix oven. Okay. You do put a covered milchix in a fleishix oven.
You have to cover your fire, too.
What?
You have to cover your fire.
I'll see you after that. So again, the fact that the oven is milchix, it's fleishix. And you do covered milchix in this, we don't care that the oven is fleishix. Why? Again, the ear of the oven, the heat of the oven is not fleishix. What's fleishix? Only when the zeya there, then it starts to add and subtract and put in and out whatever it is that's going on. But if the milchix is covered, so we're back to steak, there's nothing that can box the bleas into each other because there's no zeya being passed, and therefore, that's fine. No loss. First of all, you have a more serious shiloh now on the racks, because now it's very possible that if you're constantly doing open fleishix inside of your oven, that it's much more possible, or it may be even probable, that your racks are going to turn fleishix one way or the other. And again, what you can do is put down a piece of silver foil on top, which deals with that issue. And again, it's like steak today, so make it zoo-bazoo, because nothing can get through to your fleishix rack there. Even if your rack is fleishix, that is a piece of silver foil on top, anything that comes out onto it, it's not getting to your fleishig rack. So it's not going to take out the bleas of your fleishig rack. So that's fine. But now, as was just pointed out, what are you doing with your parav that you baked in your fleishig oven? So here we finally get to that child. Right? If you want to bake challah for Shabbos, you want to bake bread, cake, within 24 hours, even, of baking open fleishig in there, will you be allowed to eat that challah with milchix? Let's say you want to have challah shudus with milchix. You baked your challah in a fleishig oven. Can you use it for that? Or do we have to say that the challah that was baked in the fleishig oven is still fleishig? Or like I said, what about cookies and milk? Could you do that? In other words, let's take this from the top. If you would have taken parav and cooked it in a fleishig pot, that's a ben yoimoi, right? He took rice, let's say, and cooked it a few hours after cooking chicken in the same fleishig pot. Yeah, that machayim gets a din of fleishig. So what happens when you baked challah, cookies, cakes in a fleishig oven? Is that the same halacha? So let's go back to the same yisoid. The ear of the fleishig oven, is the ear fleishig? No, the ear is not fleishig. What could create a shiloh? Only zeya. Now this brings us to an important question. Let's say we could come up with a case where we have a food that doesn't have zeya. For some reason or another, you baked a food in the oven and it has no zeya. And it's open in a fleishig oven. Does it become fleishig or not? Right? L'chayre? It shouldn't become fleishig, right? Okay. So, what about soup? You put soup in the oven, definitely zeya there. That's the case of the Rosh. That's the case of the Merchatz. This is the real thing. It's just like water. What about a food? That depends. There are very, very moist foods, which are made up of a lot of liquids, right? Let's say you take real cheese and put it into the oven. Take chicken or meat, which is constantly shooting off a tremendous amount of steam because it's made up of a tremendous amount of zeil. And it remains that way, by the way. All these chickens are meats. Why are they good? Because they remain moist all through the process, right? This is the way they're meant to be. You don't want to dry out your chicken and meat. You don't want to dry out your cheese or whatever it is that you're baking in there. You have a cheesecake in there. You don't want it to become, I mean, it depends what kind of cheesecake, but what about a drier piece of food? Let's say you take bread and toast it in the toaster. That also has to have zeya that is relevant to our question. It's very little zeya. And this is where the shaila comes up. Because it's not clear that many of these parva foods actually have enough of a significant amount of zeya that they should be relevant to our shaila. So Moshe there, in the Gesmoshe, your day chelk alf nun tes, says, Mistaber shebaasiyo ein lochosh lezeya. The Stavet then he says that when you're baking things, baking as in baking baked goods, Chayri says you don't have to worry at all about Zeya in this case, because it's not enough to worry about. The only time you have to worry, he says, is when you're cooking with an open pot in the oven, then you have to worry. In other words, it depends how moist or dry is the food that you're dealing with. In an earlier Tshuva Ramesha, Simon Mem over there, Bistoma ein lochush l'shema heziu b'dvorim yevesha. Generally speaking, things that are relatively dry, you don't have to worry about their zeya at all. Umutter b'stoma b'zachazeh. As far as I'm concerned, he says, my assumption will be, you'll be able to do these things one after the next. What does that mean? Stam bread, stam challah, stam cake. We're going to assume that these things do not create enough zeya, and the same is definitely true about cookies, more than cake, which means, of course, there are cakes, there are certain cheesecakes, of course, which are meant to remain mamish, very moist, and things like that. Lasagna, let's say, you could see totally that it's a thing that's made with a tremendous amount of water in it, and some of that water should stay in until the end, clearly. But most of the things that are baked, as baked goods, and that comes to the bread and cookies and those things, have the same halacha as a kedeir mechus, as a covered pot, even when they're not covered. Why? They don't have enough zeya to create a problem. And therefore, you can take these things, bake them in that flay sugar oven, right? And it still remains parv.
Even benyama?
That's what we're talking about. It remains parv anyway.
But how about the bleed from the previous flay sugar thing? It doesn't come out of the wall?
It's only going to come out when there's a significant amount of zeya to take it out.
To
take it out, right. So therefore, that yishalayim at all that I told about earlier, what he's taking, when I called him back with this shayla, with the cookies, and I said, what's up with the cookies? Are they fleshing or they're not fleshing? He said, Azevi ich pashtei, azu vilsu chazasu mitna. And he said, you can eat it because I didn't even ask it. And that's why I thought I know. I didn't ask him the shayla. He said, I understand, you probably want to eat cookies and milk. Gesundheit, you can go ahead and eat it with milk as is. Now, the reason that this is so, we're going to end off by saying for now, the truth is there are places that will hold that unless it's actual liquid, there is no zeya at all, period. Even foods that have a lot of liquid, there's some places that will hold, we're not mishyachet to that liquid at all. It has to be just plain liquid, soup, water, milk, whatever it is. That's the only thing that creates zeya to enough significance that we care about it. Now, it's not the way that we do it. We're machmeh. But when machmeh, when something is taka, moist, fatty food, and the schmaltz coming out of there, and whatever else, yeah, we're taka machmeh on that also. But a food that is mostly dry, we're not machmeh, and therefore, even though there are fleishig oblias in that oven, from dastreg, and the only way for it to come out is through zeyo, and zeyo is not there, and we'll continue to try to.